This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled weekend. Are you making plans, or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for an energizing ballet, a chamber music performance, a documentary film that may switch your thoughts about using energy wisely, or a musical channeling Louis Prima and friends, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. I'm your host, Diane Mack. The New Orleans Ballet Association opens its 2012-2013 season with Palabolas.
You know, New Orleans is a one-of-a-kind city. Everywhere in the world, you can travel and you won't find another city like that.
Michael Tracy, artistic director and co-founder of Palabolas, is thrilled to be back in the Crescent City. It's been nearly a decade since the world-renowned Connecticut-based contemporary dance troupe has performed here. Palabolas is back with a program full of illusion, humor, and athletic energy that may have you tapping your toes and drumming your fingers. Tracy says the troupe is ready to massage your imagination.
We have a little cornucopia of pieces that stretch over our 40 years together that we're going to offer, some older and some new. We have a company of seven that travel. We have six perform on stage at any one show, four men and two women, as we've always had.
Palabolas will perform five works, opening with a piece called Rushes.
Our work ranges from comic to very athletic, almost acrobatic, some say, to more narrative and theatrical. And this is one of our more theatrical pieces. It was created in collaboration with two Israeli choreographers, Inbal Pinto and Avshalom Pollack, some years ago. They collaborated for a year or so with us to make this piece. And it's the story of a small group of people who are associated in a way that's unknown at the start of the piece. They're sitting in a circle in small chairs, looking almost like a kindergarten class made in a circle, but that's waiting for something. And what comes in is a man leaping over their heads that is caught by one of the other men. And that's the introduction, and there's a funny, crazy, interesting story that ensues that asks as many questions about the group as it answers, probably. It's the story of a small band of performers, I guess, in the end, as much of our work finally turns out to be. And it's fun, and it's quirky, and it's interesting, and it's wonderful music. The next piece is another group piece that was done just last year with a musical group named OK Go. People who follow YouTube performances will know their work because they're known almost as well for their crazy, funny YouTube videos of their work as they are for the songs themselves. We're doing a piece based on a song they did called All Is Not Lost. And for us, it's a fun exploration of three-dimensionality. Our work is always about bodies moving through space, and usually it's just we six who are holding each other up and making the sets and the props and so forth out of our bodies. In this case, the dancers are rolling across and performing on the top of a six-foot-high glass table, which is rolled out and assembled on stage. And at the same time, as the audience watches this performance from the side, as it were, from the audience, you're shown also a bottom view by a camera that's shooting up from the floor up through the glass at them, and it's projected on the wall simultaneously beside them. So you see at once two different perspectives of the same thing. It's a great fun song, and it's a funny, strange look at performance.
Another work, Gnomon, a men's quartet, harkens back to Palabolas' start at Dartmouth College back in the early 1970s.
This is it's an elegiac piece. It's kind of an elegant movement piece, fairly abstract, but it also is about relationships between people.
The Transformation is a surreal piece using illusion and shadows that will have you questioning your own eyes. And just when you think these dancers have expended all of their energy, think again. They come back with a high-voltage grand finale called Megawatt.
It has pop music by Primus and Radiohead and others. The same dancers you've seen perform for an hour or so, and then you see them at the end expending as much energy as it might take to light New Orleans.
Tracy is hoping you'll be the judge of that. And if you're curious about the troupe's unusual name, Palabolas, he says,
it actually means throw the hat. In Greek, it breaks down to the term throw the hat. The name is for a small slightly macroscopic fungus that grows in the barnyard, and we didn't choose it because of its meaning or the species. We just chose it because the sound was kind of fun and interesting. For 40 years, we've been Palobolus.
Palobolus Artistic Director and Co-Founder Michael Tracy. The New Orleans Ballet Association presents Palobolus, Saturday, 8 p.m. at the Mahalia Jackson Theater. And speaking of energy, you can be a part of a smarter energy future as a new documentary called Switch, playing in theaters across the country, is bringing awareness to our energy challenges. Switch is making its New Orleans debut Thursday at Loyola University with a free screening in Nunnemaker Hall. WWNO producer Thomas Walsh caught up with the film's director, Harry Lynch, and filed this review.
Perhaps the greatest strength of the new documentary Switch is that it finds the perfect balance between idealism and pragmatism. Director Harry Lynch claims that this achievement was intentional. He wanted to make a movie that started a practical, scientific-based energy discussion that promoted a message of energy efficiency. So to these ends, the movie is an incredibly convenient film.
You know, we tried very hard to not be an alarmist film and to not be a shockumentary. You know, to give you, as best as we could find it, the facts, to present them in a way that was really entertaining and fascinating, but to show that, you know, the future is not all gloom and doom, and we certainly have some challenges ahead of us. So the film tries to convey some optimism towards our future rather than a prediction of gloom and doom. You know, you can find that in lots of other documentaries. You can find that if you read the news. But the truth, we like to believe, is a little bit sunnier than that.
Lynch's co-producer, Dr. Scott Tinker, hosts the film, which takes the viewer inside 26 different energy sites in 11 countries around the world. Some images give you hope for the future, like the Louisiana farmer who's got a stake in the growing biofuel movement. Other images, like shots from the developing countries of Asia, paint a clear picture of how quickly the demand for energy is spiking. But these contrasting images only serve to drive Lynch's point home.
The goal was to explore the world of energy like no film that we had ever seen before, and to go places, to take people places that they'd never been before. So inside a nuclear reactor, you know, on top of a wind turbine at the world's biggest wind farm, into hydro facilities that they've never seen before. And just, you know, going into some of these facilities that are highly, highly restricted. I mean, it's harder to get into them than a maximum security prison. It took us months, sometimes more than a year, to get clearance for these places. So going into any of them was a pretty spectacular thing. So we wanted to, you know, as we explored this energy transition that's happening, we wanted to go and see things and show people things that they would never see otherwise. So make this a spectacular journey around the world that they could participate in.
But as Lynch explains, Switch is just the first stepping stone in a multimedia platform that he's helped create.
Switch, the film, is part of the Switch Energy Project. And so the feature film is going out across the country, and it will continue to screen kind of on demand for schools, for groups, and theaters through probably the middle of 2013. So then the website, switchenergyproject.com, has at the moment 300 web videos that explore energy in more depth than the film can do, and it's 90 minutes. The website will continue to develop over the next year and a half or so, and that'll include a big efficiency section, more and more kind of article content, and then education content. So any teacher anywhere in the U.S. will be able to download these free, these video-based plans, and either assign them from homework or teach from them in the classroom, and they'll meet teaching standards. So this is a long project that'll be around in people's view until 2015, 2016, something like that.
So from a certain perspective, Switch itself is a reusable commodity that Lynch hopes will have lasting effects. And since Switch is the product of a man who insists on simple, practical ways to handle energy consumption, it seems apropos that Lynch's film ends by advocating for realistic changes in cultural norms.
I think if we look at the future of energy in a very practical way, an information-based way, then we can find a path to that future that is promising. It's slower than most people would think. And there will be challenges with that time frame, for sure, in terms of carbon and population and other things. But we get there. And then the other thing is, of course, efficiency. It is the thing that all of us can do. I don't know about you, but I don't have a coal mine in my backyard. You know, I can't control how much coal is used right there, but I can definitely control how much energy that I use, how much our business uses. And as I get passionate about that, everybody who works with me gets passionate about that. Everybody in my family gets passionate about that. And everybody else is the same way. You know, we spread that change to all the people that we know, and it makes a difference. So efficiency is it's the energy policy everybody can love. It reduces emissions, it reduces carbon, it extends supply, it increases security, and it saves money. I mean, how can you not like that? It's cheap, and it can be done immediately. Most energy transitions take decades. You know, we can start saving energy today.
WWNO producer Thomas Walsh talking with film director Harry Lynch. There will be a free public screening of Switch Thursday night in Loyola University's Nunnemaker Hall. The film begins at 7.
I went to the movie the other night. The plot was groovy. It was out of sight. I sat with my popcorn, not looking for good time.
You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO. I'm your host, Diane Mack. The 58th concert season of the New Orleans Friends of Music kicks off Wednesday night at Dixon Hall. WWNO's Farrah Hudkins has this sneak peek.
The New Orleans Friends of Music's new season of chamber music begins with a performance by a young group from Israel. I spoke with Margaret Shields, president of the Friends Board of Directors, about the concert.
The Jerusalem String Quartet are rising stars in the North American concert circuit for string quartets. Their concert this time includes Wolf Serenade, which is a fairly rarely performed piece.
That would be the Italian Serenade by Hugo Wolf, written in 1887, but not premiered until 1904, and a favorite with audiences and performers ever since.
And a Mozart Prussian Quartet.
Mozart's Prussian Quartets got their name from their dedication to the King of Prussia, who was an amateur cellist. As you could imagine, the cello gets to shine during this piece.
And then they're performing also a Brahms Quartet, which is Opus 67. It was written in 1875. So it's a later quartet for Brahms, which is a very interesting quartet.
The Brahms String Quartet No. 3 was also dedicated to an amateur cellist, and although Brahms called it a trifle, something to distract him from the weightier task of writing a symphony, it continues to stand on its own merits.
These members all studied at the Jerusalem Academy of Music and Dance, and they're all award-winning soloists in their own right, but tour together in major centers of Europe and in North America. They have several recordings out, Schumann, Schubert, Death and the Maiden, and you can get these recordings, I'm sure, online. One of the other very interesting things about this, interesting to me anyway, is that two of the members of the quartet play very old instruments, the Prescenda violin and a Ruggieri cello, which were built in the 18th century. So they're very old and beautifully sonorous instruments. That's a wonderful thing for us to hear in Dixon Hall because it's a small hall and a very intimate sound, so you can hear them quite well.
Friends of Music Board of Directors President Margaret Shields talking about the Jerusalem String Quartet. The concert opens the Friends' 58th season October 17th at Dixon Hall on the campus of Tulane University. You can get more information at friendsofmusic.org. For 89.9 WWNO, I'm Farrah Hudkins.
You can hear classical music with Farrah Hudkins weekdays from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. on WWNO2.
baby, it looks like it's gonna hail. Baby, baby, it looks like it's gonna hail.
Get ready to jump, jive, and wail as the National World War II Museum celebrates the music of iconic New Orleans entertainer and trumpeter Louis Prima in an original musical at the Stage Door Canteen. This high-energy show with a cast of 10 is the brainchild of National World War II Museum Entertainment Director Victoria Reed.
I put it up on the board for our senior staff to look at, and they said, Louis Prima, that's a no-brainer. Let's do a show on him.
So who was this native New Orleanian, hailed as the king of swing that had everyone jumping?
Well, he was born in 1910 to a very wonderful family that loved music. His mom did shows around in her Catholic church, and she was very animated, and she made sure her children studied music, all three of her children. Louis started studying the violin, but his brother was playing the cornet, Leon, and Leon went off to work one summer and left a cornet behind, and Louis picked it up and never put it down. And that's so he was playing, and he was even a band leader by the time he was a teenager. And, of course, grew up around New Orleans and listened to Louis Armstrong and all the great jazz artists. So his voice almost has that little bit of a Louis Armstrong sound to it. You can tell that he really listened to that and the Dixieland. And so when he left New Orleans to go to New York, he brought his style of Dixieland, and that was the start of him becoming known around the country.
Pianist Tom Hook channels Prima in this musical that takes audiences on a journey of Prima's life from the 1920s to the 1960s. Reed is careful to say that this is not a Prima impersonation.
Those characters are very hard to impersonate. And like Louis Prima was a trumpet player, Tom Hook is a piano player. So it's more of a celebration of Louis Prima's music, and the way to get the real feel of that band is the energy. And I think we are doing that pretty well.
Reed got invaluable information from Prima's family.
I did. I met Lena, and Lena has been consulting with us. She's come to rehearsals. She's really given them a lot of support and so many valuable little tips about her father. And she's amazing. She knows those arrangements, like if the trombone is off one note, she knows them. I mean, she really, really is a fan of her dad's and is carrying on a legacy so well because she taught us so much. And then, of course, I spoke with Gia, his final wife and widow, and she gave me some priceless information about him as well to put in. And she helped with the script, and she really guided me and was a part of each draft and really gave me some of the lovely things that we are able to tell that I would have never gotten out of a book.
Prima entertained the troops during World War II through special recordings, and this high-energy cast of 10 will take audiences back in time as they bring to life those legendary songs in this big show.
I think that you will hear all the ones that you know. My favorite is Banana Split for My Baby. And a 92-year-old man came the other night and he said, oh, I wasn't going to be happy till you sang that song. It's such a cute novelty tune that Stan Irwin and Louis Prima wrote. And Louis and he were actually sitting in Las Vegas at a coffee shop. And Stan goes, tell me how you write a song, Louis. And he goes, well, you need a title. And he goes, well, give me a title. And a waitress went by with a banana split. And he said, banana split for my baby. And that's how that song was written. And of course, Just a Gigolo. That was one of his big hits his whole career. That Old Black Magic, Basin Street Blues. There'll be a couple songs that people don't know in the show as well. And when he first went to New York in the 30s, he opened his show with Let's Have a Jubilee. And they used to say the women just went crazy over him because he had so much charisma. And, of course, Jump, Jive, and Wail, isn't there? Lots of his Italian songs. It's a real mix of 18 of his best.
The National World War II Museum's Stage Door Canteen presents Jump, Jive, and Wail, the music of Louis Prima, with performances running weekends through November 24th.
Sing, 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 everybody start to sing, la-di-da, ho-ho-ho, now you're singing with a swing. Sing, 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 everybody start to sing, la-di-da, ho-ho-ho, now you're singing with a swing. And when the music goes around, everybody goes to town, but here's something you should know. Oh, baby, oh,
and we have something extra in our Lanyap corner. French Market's 4th annual Bou Carré Halloween and Harvest Festival takes place Sunday, October 21st. The daytime family event features free trick-or-treating for kids in costumes. You'll find plenty of entertainment, contests, and pumpkins. Activities run from noon until 5 p.m. with trick-or-treating in a 6-block area from the Upper Pontalba to the Farmers Market. French Quarter Festivals, Inc. is now accepting applications for local musicians interested in performing at the 30th Annual French Quarter Festival to be held April 11th through 14th, 2013. Interested performers should access the application online at fqfi.org. The deadline for application is November 1st, 2012. The 2013 festival will feature over 400 hours of local music across 22 stages throughout the French Quarter. And the New Orleans Film Festival continues through Thursday, October 18th. Offering an array of eclectic films at venues across the city. For a complete listing, go to neworleansfilmsociety.org/festival. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next week at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.